Behind the Beats with Just Bowen and Bowie J.
All right, it is Bowie Jane with Jess Bowen for Babes Behind the Beats. And today on the show, we have singer-songwriter Nikia Gold all the way from Los Angeles.
What up, y'all? Woo! What's good?
Thank you for being here. We are so stoked that you are here in studio with us on this beautiful rainy day in L.A. Man. Weird, right? It's
Man.
Weird. The one day it's raining.
Finally, it doesn't rain here. I mean, finally it rains, but like, dang.
Yeah.
The energy I had when I woke up was like, okay, T.
Right?
All right, lay down and watch some TV. Dang, it's about to be 2 o'clock.
Right? I literally told Bowie when we walked in studio because we were like, you know, like usually we want to get hyped before the interviews and stuff. And I was just like, man, it's raining outside. I'm tired. Yeah. I was like, it's a chill day today.
That's how I feel, man. But I love these days. We don't get them often, so I take advantage of these days.
Oh, for sure.
Absolutely. Soak it in.
For sure. So you are born and raised Los Angeles?
Born and raised. I've been here all my life.
Do you love it?
I love it.
Yeah. You don't see yourself being anywhere else?
I do want to travel, but I'm always going to come back home.
Yeah.
Like, this is the soil that helped produce and grow this beautiful flower.
Yes.
You know? So
I love that. I love that. So let's get into, I was going to say, I want to know more about you. I want to find out, like, how you got to where you're at today. Like, did you grow up in a musical family? When did you find your love and your passion for music?
That's crazy, because I'm really the black sheep of the family, you know? I kind of ventured off and did a little bit of everything so I could figure myself out. I couldn't stay still.
Yeah?
My mom called me the monkey, so, you know, it was whatever I can get my hands on into, I was doing it. So I really started off as a gymnast.
Oh,
nice. And I competed as an Olympic in the Olympics.
Oh my God.
From 9 to 12, I did that.
What? You're joking.
Yeah. So I did that and I was kind of done with it. I was bored. So I'm like, okay, mom, I'll do something else. She's like, okay, you got to dance. Let's go dance. So when I was into dance school, I was doing all these theatrical plays and I wanted to play certain parts because I wanted to do the other dance. And they're like, well, you can't do that part unless you can act and sing. I'm like, dang, I don't want to. I was like, man, I be singing in the shower. I've been doing this since I was a kid. And I was shy. I never wanted to really, you know. And then I was forced into doing all these different plays and giving these parts. So it was kind of like the talent I naturally had as a kid, because I grew up in church. Mm-hmm. Honestly, that's where it really started. I found my love for music in church. Yeah. And I would always sing. And then I get caught. I got caught one time. You know, the band stopped playing, they turned the music off, and I was still singing. And I looked up, and it was like, oh, so you can sing. Next Sunday, I had to write my own song. I'm singing by myself. I was like, I'm embarrassed myself. But
wait, at what age was this?
This was like 9, 10.
Wow, okay. Yeah. So they put you on the spot
on
at
the
9
spot.
And 10. They're like, all right, start writing music.
My church didn't play. It was like a family church, too. She did not play. You fall asleep, you standing up. Yeah, so it was like, you know, I had to have my attention. And I had to get up. So right. I was always up. So that's really where it started.
Yeah.
And then after that, I start, of course, getting into the performing arts school. You know, and that's where I really found my love for it. I sat down and I was able to conceptualize my own songs very young and tell stories because I'd been through so much along my journey. My mom was sick. As much as I can remember, she was sick as when I was a child. So it was so much I had to do to distract that she wanted to distract us from as kids.
Right.
To get us out. Okay, no, you ain't sitting home. You're not doing this. You get in trouble. You in the streets. You're going to go do all this other stuff. So I didn't have time to really soak in and see what she was doing until I got older, you know? Mm-hmm. And so now I'm like, you know, she was grooming me because I was set and destined to do something other than what we were, the situations that we were in as kids and growing up, you know, because we didn't have the best living in South Central, you know, very limited resources, not a lot of like parks nearby. The parks that were there were like in areas where we couldn't really go to because certain people we hung out with, you know, so it was kind of like we had to stick where we had to be. And we, of course, ain't got nothing really to do. So you getting a little everything, boy, you know. So she wanted me to do better and I seen it and I took advantage of it. You know, very young, seeing what she put all into everything that I did. And when she passed, I really was like, you know, I got to make something of this. I can't sit down. I can't not do nothing. So I really took it serious. And I told myself and I manifested what I'm doing today because I believed in it. And, you know, God don't make no mistakes.
Yeah.
You know, and I said that I was going to do it and I did it.
That's
so from
amazing.
That point on, it was like, I could do whatever I want to do.
Yeah.
I could do anything.
That's incredible. So you started writing your own songs. Would it have been at that age, 9, 10 years old, because of kind of the church kind of getting you into like, hey, write a song for this? So was that like, that was when you first started writing?
That's when I first knew I could put pen and word together and conceptualize my thoughts or something that I wanted to say, because I was so much of an introvert and shy and didn't really show my emotions. We didn't grow up like in an affectionate family. So showing your emotions was like, oh, you a punk, you a pussy. So crying and showing like if I'm sad or hurt or I want affection from my mom or my dad ain't never in my life. So I wanted something that I didn't have. So my way of doing that was through music. I would blast it all day and I would just write my own songs.
Wow.
Like, give me a piano and a karaoke machine every Christmas, mom, and I'm happy. Some socks and pajamas, you know? Maybe a pair of J's if we could, you know?
Well, that's what I was going to ask you, too, is, like, what instrument did you really start out playing, what like, when you started writing?
I would pen peck on the piano.
Yeah, yeah.
I really didn't learn how to play the piano, but when I wanted to learn a song or if I heard a song that I wanted to, I would sit there and find the note, then I would learn the song. So I really wasn't, like, a theory learner.
Yeah.
I was more of a put yourself in the position and experience it and figure it out type
of learner. You could hear... Because this is how I learned how to play drums, was literally just listening to music and then somehow I was able to be like, oh, I think I can hear what that beat is. Is it kind of similar for you with like piano? You're like, I know that's this note. Like you could figure it out by listening.
I'm going to find it. Yeah.
Right, right.
The ear. Yeah. My ear and then my sense of musicality growing up dancing and doing gymnastics kind of
gets. Because there's rhythm with that, right? Like you got to have the rhythm to be able to do that.
Yeah. It's like I was listening to oldies at 6, 7, and 8 and loving it. Like, this is the music. Like, and then to go back and do those plays where I'm playing like the Jackson 5 or In Vogue. Like,
that's so cool.
I'm like, I had no idea who these people were and I wouldn't have if I didn't go to these schools. So it kind of gave me the history I needed in music before I stepped into the light of what I'm doing music and at the capacity of what I'm doing it.
Yeah.
So I was almost like, I know what I'm talking about before I had to go through this development stage when I stepped foot into it, you know?
Right.
So how did you go about any sort of, like, what was your next step with music?
My next step was, after that, I kind of wanted to make it make sense. So I was in the studio, literally, with me and my bro Jinx, literally. Shout out Jinx. In the studio every day, and we like making music, we making songs, but it's like, okay, they're nice songs, but what are we doing?
Yeah.
Like, so people would come in and out the studio that we were at, because it was at a nonprofit building, and he was John Paul Castillo, to this day, is still my bro. He would let us come in and use the studio for free of charge.
Wow, amazing. That's so cool.
And no one would ever come in here. So literally, Jinx and I lived there for like 2 years straight. We just writing. And we sitting there not realizing like, bro, we got such a big catalog.
Yeah.
And the guy's watching us. He like, man, y'all really taking it serious. Paying all the bills, coming in there, cussing us out like, man, y'all ain't doing that. Y'all ain't bringing no money in here. But we making fire. Like, come on, let us stay here. Y'all are here every day. Like, can y'all pay a cable bill? Like, get some trash bags. Like, we was broke, dead broke, didn't have nothing, you know? So, but we did have that studio. And at the time, I was dancing and I was teaching. And I ruptured my Achilles, so I couldn't do nothing but music.
Yeah.
So it was like, I wanted to be a dancer and, like, really travel the world teaching dance and movement to the kids of the world, you know?
Yeah.
And that dream got crumbled right in front of my eyes. And that's like, God said, nah, that's not what I want you to do.
Yeah.
Wow. You need to talk to these
redirected
people.
Redirected you.
Yeah.
In the right direction.
You're like, sit down, because you don't know how to be still, and write these songs.
Yeah, amazing.
So I did. I was forced to sit down for, 3 years. I couldn't dance anymore. I couldn't teach anymore because I was teaching dance. Yeah. And so it really, like, I fell into depression and I was like, what am I going to do? I had gained weight. I was almost like 220 pounds.
Wow.
Because I was just sitting in the studio all day with my foot up, eating and writing. Like, no type of exercise but a crutch. My arms were nice.
Yeah. Like, my arms were really toned.
When I started spreading everywhere else. So it was just like when it hit me, because I just wanted to write. I wanted to be an artist, but my dreams died once I, like, I didn't have any oomph in me to be an artist because everyone would always tell me, oh, you're not going to make it. You'll never be an artist. And I was living through what other people was telling me.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
So when I sat down and I took myself serious, and the day that I did get asked to be an artist and to be signed to a label was on my mother's death day anniversary. So it was like,
whoa,
all the signs in the world was coming to me like, hey, this is what you got to do.
Right.
Let's do this.
Totally.
So it was like, okay, let's do it. Instantly, what, the next week, photo shoot, and I'm like, no, I'm fat. So I started, like, getting in the gym, getting my shit together. So it kind of happened real fast. And then, like, I was almost living through some astral projection, looking down at myself like, you seen this. I was in the mirror manifesting every day. Like, I would wake up, and I would be in the mirror like I was on stage, and I would feel the feeling of touching a fan or how it would feel to get the energy back from a fan. So I knew what it felt like when I was doing it. And if you don't feel it and you don't see it, then you're not going to get there. Like, so you got to manifest what you want in order for it to happen. You can't think it.
And to be ready for it when it presents itself.
Yeah.
I think. Yeah.
For sure.
Because it's a lot that comes with it.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. A lot I'm still learning. And it's, you know, it's a process, but I can say I was prepared for it.
But how did that happen where you got signed to the label? Because that's unusual.
Through my writing.
So were you pitching it out to people? Or?
Okay, so this is what happened. Crazy story. Johnny, who was letting us use the studio, he had been watching us for years. Like, okay, I can't do nothing more for y'all, so I'm going to bring somebody in who can help y'all. I know somebody who, you know some people who know some people. Maybe he can get you guys music.
Yeah.
He had seen us being scouted and we were going to different labels at this time. This is when he was like, okay, finally, I'm going to do something. Different labels were calling us because we were putting stuff on Instagram. Like, we're not the artist, but if you want this song, hit us up.
Oh.
So they were hitting us up to write for different artists.
Really? Okay. Mm-hmm.
So we ended up landing maybe 2 placements.
From Instagram?
From Instagram.
That's insane.
That's huge.
Yeah. Social media is something
else. It's a powerful tool,
it's
for sure.
It's a powerful tool. I mean, how they say, drugs are powerful?
Social media
is even more powerful.
Right?
What?
Drugs and social media.
Yeah. Breaks you? What?
You heard it here first, guys.
I'm telling you. But it was the biggest lesson ever, you know? But I'm here now, and I mean, I'm grateful for everything that did happen. And all the lessons that I did learn, because all my failures and everything that I doubted taught me and brought me to where I am now, you know?
I was going to ask you because, you know, getting signed to a label at like a young age can be a scary thing. And it's like being thrown into something like you're not familiar with, right? It's just like territory. Like, do you feel like you learned lessons and that now you have a greater understanding of like what you want for the future? Or do you... Like, I just feel like there's a lot of artists that feel like their first, speaking from, I guess, my personal experience, it was like the first label our band ever signed to, it was like, wow, we shouldn't maybe have done that specific deal. It's kind of like you just think that you have to take something right when it happens, and then you kind of learn from that. And like, even now, I feel like being unsigned is actually a great thing.
It's amazing.
Is that how you feel now? Is there like a part of you that feels that way at all, or...
Well, the kind of situation that I'm in is a little different than a lot of different artists and their deals.
Yeah.
So for me, in my head, I had to put no deal is a bad deal. It's how you make the deal work for you.
That's a great way to put it.
So for sure. How do you make this deal work for you, knowing that this deal is also business? And at the same time, this is your baby and your passion. So how do you make those two meet and still be able to accomplish goals at the same time?
That's a great way to put it.
Yeah.
that's actually probably the best way that I think I've heard anyone put it, because, you know, people could be on the side of either don't sign to a label or do sign to a label, but I don't think I've heard that exact perspective.
Yeah, it's just how does it work for you? I tend to be in a position with my label where, I mean, I can pick up the phone and call anybody from the label if I need anything or if I need something done. Like, we're very much in communication, so I don't feel like, of course I have those battles.
Yeah.
I have those same battles everyone has, especially when it comes to putting songs out.
Oh, that's the biggest battle, I feel like.
As an artist, we make songs literally every single day.
Yep.
And the songs we think are great, of course, are not the songs that they think are great.
Yes.
And you know?
Right.
I had to learn to let go and learn to love the music I make, so I never make something that I wouldn't put out.
Yeah, right.
So regardless what you choose.
So you don't send it to them.
I love it.
Yep.
So, okay, come on. You like that one? Great, I like that one too. Which one you want next? Oh, I like it too. I love that song.
That is, you know, smart.
Yeah.
Very smart.
So whatever you do, love it.
Yeah.
Love
yeah.
it.
That's amazing.
Great advice.
That honestly, I think is probably the best advice I think I've heard on our whole podcast from that perspective, at
yeah.
least about the label situation. So
absolutely. Telling you these lessons I learned on the way, they'll teach you.
Yes, absolutely.
So you've had, I read that you've had experienced homelessness as well. Now yeah. that, when was that in your lifespan that you've talked about so far?
That was right after I lost my mom.
Right.
So me and my brothers and sisters, we kind of got a place that we would all stay in for a year. And because we barely had any money, any job, like really my mom was our rock. I quit everything that I was doing to spend every last second with her that she had left. So I disconnected from friends, family, girlfriend,
yep.
everything.
Amazing.
So I literally had to push restart when she passed away. And yeah. it was from nothing.
Yeah. yeah.
So it was kind of like, okay, look, we got this money from her passing. We're going to put it together and we're going to have a place to live. And we got a year to figure out what we got to do.
Wow.
We all had to separate. So
wow.
Luckily, my older brother, he was already well off. He had a place in his family outside in like the Moreno Valley area.
Mm-hmm.
And my other brother was sent off to my father in Tennessee. So he stayed there with us for a minute. And then we like, nah, you can't live out here. It's crazy out here.
Yeah.
I want my brother to be alive. I don't want to see you 6 feet under in the next couple of years because it's crazy.
How old was he?
My brother, he, what, 16, 17, 18?
And how old were you?
I was 20, 21.
Yeah, so wow. young.
Yeah.
So it was like, figure it out.
It's like old enough for it to be and young enough. Like that's such a crucial age.
Yeah. yeah, it was like everything. I didn't expect it to happen and I wasn't prepared for it, but I had to get prepared for
yeah.
it, if that makes sense. Because right. she showed us and taught us, you know, to be strong and not to show weakness or pain, and she didn't show us. Not a cinch of weakness or pain. And I seen she was in pain.
Yeah.
Like
yeah.
cut from sternum to pelvic, wide open, all type of bags and tubes coming out of her. And they couldn't do nothing at the hospital. So she was living in the house. And my bed was right here. And her hospital bed was right here. And
wow.
she wouldn't let nobody touch her
wow.
but me. No nurse, no doctor to like take stitches out or change
oh my
her.
Gosh.
So I had to like suck it up.
Jeez.
Like, no, mom, you're okay. Knowing dang well, like, what the hell am I doing? But I got to do this for my mama.
Wow.
I wouldn't do this for nobody else.
Wow.
To the point Kaiser was asking me to teach their wound care physicians how to do what I was doing for my mom. Because I
really?
Was able to make her bags and her... She had so much going on to where they were like, look, we have this size bag and this to do this. And I'm like, nah, but you could do this like this and make this. So they were like, okay, well... This goes on her skin. Then you put this to protect the skin. Then this goes here. But if you can do it like this, then great. She not letting us touch her. I would figure it out. My mom would let me touch her. She would let them touch her. I would figure it all. They would come in and they'd be like, this is amazing. Well, I'm going to bring some of the students in here. Can you show them how you?
Wow.
I'm like, no.
I was going to say, do they
stop?
Pay you for that? You're
yeah.
teaching these students, these medical students, what to do?
Man.
Come on.
That's
it was
crazy.
To the point I had to learn it all. And it was like, I know I could do whatever I want to do. if I put my brain to it. I could have been a wound care physician. Yeah. But I know I couldn't have done that for nobody else like I did for my mom. It would have taken me to a place where it's like I had too much passion and I cared. And to lose something that you are attached to like that, again, it's like nobody wants to go through that pain again.
Yeah.
I even have that issue with like giving my heart and love away to a female right now because I don't want to experience that hurt, pain, or that like, I'm scared of that feeling.
Yeah.
It hurt. That was the...
Yeah.
I've never felt a pain like that, and I feel like I've experienced the worst pain so I could go through anything now.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Wow. I mean, what an incredible life experience. Awful and incredible because it's got you where you are to today.
Yeah, man. I'm telling you, from living in my car after that, us losing the house. Well, not really losing the house because we were subleasing it from someone that was a close friend of the family.
Right.
Mm-hmm.
And I think something happened to where she needed to move her family somewhere. Mm. So it was like, look, I got to kind of scooch y'all out. We're not going to be able to do the full year or extend it because we were even thinking about extending it.
Wow.
So we were out like $9,000.
Whoa.
And then nowhere to go to the point where they were trying to call the police to get us to leave.
Oh, my God.
And it was like, okay, look, we all got to separate. My sister had somewhere to go because she was married at the time.
Yeah.
My brother, he was off to my father in Tennessee. And my older brother, he wasn't staying with us. So I was the only one to where it was like, all right, I really got to figure it out.
Wow.
So I had a girlfriend at the time and we were staying with her family. Mm-hmm. And then when we had to move from there is when that whole shift happened because I was – then getting a job, I had found a job, but while I was working was when I was in my car.
Oh, wow.
The girl that I was with at the time was in my car all day while I was at work. And I was at work because I was teaching. So school hours, 8 o'clock in the morning till 3 o'clock. She would sit in my car. I would go out there to lunch with her. And it was like I was broke as hell. So I was working to get to that first paycheck. And I didn't have money to be going back and forth with that car or her driving back and forth. So it was like, okay, well, you want to sit out here? All right, let's thug it out.
Damn.
It was literally, and I didn't have the pride to tell nobody, you know? Not even my brothers or sisters, because they all had kids.
Yeah.
And I was the only one that didn't have kids. So I'm like, y'all got kids to take care of. I cannot, like, take from y'all. Y'all have literal mouths to feed. Like, I could thug it out. So I thugged it out.
Wow. Insane.
That's an incredible story. You are, that's, wow.
Tough as nails. And so you then obviously got back on your feet and started earning some money. Mm-hmm. That got you, you could maybe get a place then. Is that what happened? Or
yeah, I kind of had a dream job. Literally, a mentor of mine hit me up. She seen that my mom passed and she like, I seen you going back to the streets and I don't want you in the streets. So come on. That's when I got the job being a teacher because I was a dancer. And because I had those skills, my skills got me into the job without having all of the other requirements that were needed. My skills got me in there.
Yeah.
So I went in. I went in with some regular jeans thinking I was going in an interview because she said, okay, come up here to the job. I'm going to talk to you for a little bit. I was put on the spot. I had to audition. I had to dance. I had on like regular jean pants, as I was saying, tennis shoes. And they like, yeah, go downstairs. You smell like weed. Go spray yourself before you start up. And I was like, oh, I didn't know I was coming inside of a corporate office inside of your whole job. Like, I was like, all right, so I'm going to go freshen up, and then I'll be right back. So I come back, I dance, and literally the next week I'm hired. So they're like, yeah, okay, so come back tomorrow. You're going to come learn all these dances, and then you'll go in for your first class next week. Because the school that I was working at, we took place of physical education. So the kids learned vocals, dance, and acting. And we put on three shows a school year. So not only are we teaching theory and dance, we're teaching choreography to put on shows to people who have never danced before.
Wow. That's so cool.
Yes, kids kindergarten through eighth grade.
Wow. That's amazing. And that's here in L.A. you did that?
Yes,
here in L.A. What was the school?
These were what were these? Charter schools. It was Celerity Charter and... what's the other one? Isana.
Wow. Cool. That's incredible.
What a life. You've had such an amazing life in that you've had all these experiences. This has made you like the queen hustler. You know what I mean? Like,
man.
Yeah.
It's nothing you can't not get your hands into if it's out there.
You can survive.
I say go get it. Yeah.
You can survive and you can win because you've got amazing music out.
Yes,
and,
thank you.
A new release out as well. Tell us all about that.
Man, the new songs are really... People would say the prologue. I'd say it's the brim or the cover to the prologue. Like, I haven't even gotten started to what really I want to talk about or really the depths of my life. I really am just breaking into how I felt at the moment and just general hurt, pain, and love through a relationship that I felt like I wanted the world to know at the time. Like, connect with me on these stories and follow the story, because I'm not just talking. I'm also putting messages inside what I'm saying so that you can leave with something.
Yeah.
So what lesson are you learning from this song? What did it teach you? Why did I say what I said?
Yeah. I love that. That's amazing. Like,
yeah, so good. Then where can we find all your music?
You can find it on all social media platforms. Literally, you can type me in anywhere and you will find all my music.
Yeah.
I love that.
And if we have you got gigs coming up?
I do have a show coming up in December. I'm also putting on a private show. So you guys stay tuned because I'm definitely going to invite you guys.
Yes, we would love to come.
So I'm going to put on a private little event, just a little tastemaker. And I'm pretty sure a lot of shows are going to be coming up. I literally get shows popping out of the asshole.
Yeah.
So
I mean, it's like it's back to being like show after show, gig after gig, tour after tour. It's like that time of year now. Everyone's just getting back to it. So
yeah. I mean, I'm because I did just get signed, I'm like, I fell in love with the stage early.
Mm-hmm.
So me wanting and knowing I need the stage.
Yeah, and you're a performer from everything, gymnastics, dance.
Yes, like I, it's an energy that, you know, it never dies inside of me.
Yeah.
And it never will.
There's nothing like being on stage.
Nah, I'm a performer at heart, and being allowed to create the music and then perform with what I'm creating is life-changing. I mean, it's all I can ask for, you know?
Yeah.
Yeah, amazing.
Well, for everyone who might not already be following you, could you give us your social media platforms that you are the most active on so everyone can keep up with all these amazing things that you're doing?
Yes. On all social media platforms, my name is the same.
Perfect.
And I'm on all of them, fortunately, at NAKKIAGOLD. And that's Nakia Gold.
Go and follow her.
Go follow her. You've also, as you mentioned earlier, wait, one second before we leave this. You have some viral hits on, is it Shorts? Is that what you call it?
Yes.
YouTube Shorts.
YouTube Shorts, man. They love you, girl.
Damn.
Let me.
I'm going to follow you for sure.
Definitely go check those out. Me being an old person, I was like, what are those? What are those YouTube
Even
shorts?
Even I knew I about did not shorts, know. But Jess didn't.
So, tap in, man.
Yeah, I got to get on top of that. So everyone, go follow Nakia. She is absolutely amazing. And seriously, thank you so much for being here with us in studio today.
Yeah,
this is, you have an
me.
Incredible, incredible life. And your story is just
great
so
chat.
Inspiring. So thanks
thank
for being
you.
Here.
Thank y'all for having me, man. This won't be the last time.
Better not be.
I'm coming back. When I drop this new project, I'm going to come back and drop some old gems.
You better. You better be back here. Yes.
Stuff I got to talk about.
Yes. I love
it. All right. Thank y'all again.
Thanks for listening to Babes Behind the Beats with Jess Bowen and Bowie Jane. Head over to our Instagram, Babes Behind the Beats, and our TikTok, and send us a message over there on who you'd like on the show next.